Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
She shot me up like gold on my arm. I want to take it slow, but it's so hard. I love to see her face in daylight. It's more than just our bodies.
That's right. We're the podcast that explores the American animated sitcom The Simpsons from seasons 11 and beyond. Why 11 and beyond, you ask? Well, an entity known as the Wheel of Random has trapped us and forced us to watch episodes from 11 and beyond, the newest ones when they're available, such as this week. And I say we because I can't do this alone. I'm Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve, and with me, as always, is the other Annoyed Grunt Boy,
Craig.
Hey, Craig, how's it going?
Going great, Steve. I think a lot of this country of America that we live in has been experiencing some of the climate change, polar vortex, you know, shrinking or not expanding, actually, down to the States here. And, you know, snow in February in the Pacific Northwest isn't that common, but here we are.
Yeah, we were hit with the storm.
Not a climate change podcast. Sorry, Greta. Yeah,
go back to saving the world. But yeah, so we had some snow over the past few days, and it hit us a lot harder than we expected. And as it was starting to melt one night, I was leaving for work, and I was locking my door to my store, and I saw a snowball kind of fall to the ground. I just thought that it was like some snow falling from my building. But then I saw another snowball get a little bit closer to me. I look over, across the street from my store is an 8-story hotel. Before I knew it, I was walking down the street, and I got beamed right in the left eye with a snowball that somebody had thrown from the rooftop patio of that hotel. I felt the hit, and I just kind of said to myself, fuck! And then I just kind of flipped off the sky because I couldn't see who did it. And then I realized where it was coming from. And so I was like kind of rubbing my face, and like I was walking down the street, and then off in the distance, I hear somebody go, sorry!
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it when you were saying, like, you're shaking your fist at the building. Like, it's like old man shaking fist at cloud.
Because I was confused and angry, as I usually am. But I didn't, like, want to, like, kick anybody's ass.
Yes, because you could.
Right. And I didn't want to be, like, old grumpy man. But also, I was kind of pissed. So I didn't know how to react.
You know, the fact that you live in Portland and someone's throwing a snowball at you, it's like, I'm sorry. Like, that's so Portland. Like, imagine, like, being in a snowball fight. Like, sorry, I hit you. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. Just having a fight. It sounds like a Portlandia bit where, like, Kerry Brownstein and Fred Armister are having, like, a snowball fight. Like, sorry, I hit you. Sorry.
Yeah. It heightens by them being, like, punks. And they spray paint on the walls, but they spray paint sorry.
Was that a thing in Portlandia?
No, it was just a thing I thought of, but.
Well, we should revive Portlandia and it'll just be you and I, actually.
Yeah. I'd say, like, I don't know if we want to reflect how Portland is now.
Yeah. That sounds traumatic. Like, I just remember having, like, one, like, snowball fight as a youth where, like, as a kid, you know, I'm like 10, but then, like, high school kids are driving around trucks and then throwing snowballs at us, so that kind of sucked. Because you're on uneven ground,
right?
High school kids have the car. We got nothing. We got our legs.
And also, snowball fights should be consensual.
Yeah,
not from the roofs of buildings.
Snowball fights consensual on the roof of your mouth.
There you go.
Steve, you know what else I like on the roof of my mouth?
What's that, Craig?
Beer.
That brings us to our favorite segment, the Simpsons Beer Corner. Alrighty, Craig, what have you got for us this week?
Well, Steve, we're going to be talking about Carl from this episode. And as you know, Carl, he was adopted by Icelandic parents. And when you think of Iceland, you think of winter because it's Iceland and cold and brr, right?
Sure.
It's always winter, right, in our minds. So you think of the festival of winter. And also Don Luce, actor, appears as Naima, Carl's potential love interest in this episode. Don Luce is known for a role in Star Trek Lower Decks. And in Star Trek, the most famous starship, of course, is the Enterprise. So that's why I went with Terminal Gravity Brewing out of Enterprise, Oregon.
Nice.
Festival Strong Winter Ale. You see where the strong winter comes in? Yeah. It's towards the end of the winter season. So I figure this is one last seasonal winter ale I got to get in before we get to spring and the sneezy beers. That's all we do in the springtime is sneeze. Right. So the can is a very boring can. I think kids would hate it. It's brown, a little bit of yellow. You know, it's just got a little border of trees. You know, kids see this, they're not going to want to drink booze, and they shouldn't, because drinking is bad,
right?
For kids, unless you're a kid in France, you could drink as much as you want.
Sure.
So this is just a winter ale. Winter ale has its own thing, right? In festival season here in the middle of nowhere, meet our winter warmer, featuring a complex malt of hop profile, creating the perfect balance of malt sweetness and spice. When it's time to wind down after a winter adventure, grab a feast. Cheers, friends. Asterisk says contests are unfiltered. Sediment may occur. So don't shake, honestly, if there's sediment.
Weird.
Steve, I've been to Enterprise, Oregon a few times. It's a very very small mountain town. I think they have one Starbucks.
Wow.
And it's in the Safeway.
I think I've been there too.
It's a 7.9% alcohol by volume. They couldn't get that other 0.1% in to make it an equal 8. So minus 1 point for them. It comes off as I like to refer to as the Raisin Bran of ales.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of in that Belgian style, right? That I like.
Right.
It's a little bit of a lighter version, a little bit more sting from the carbonation. I thoroughly enjoy it. You know what's amazing? This can kind of reminds me of how like the old cans from our youth when we drank beer in like the 70s and 80s, like the pull tabs. Like it kind of looks like an old timey can in a way.
Oh, that's fun.
But still with that wide mouth. Remember when the wide mouth aluminum can like was a thing in like the late 90s, maybe, or late 80s, was it? Late 80s, early 90s, like the wide mouth opening. I heartily enjoy this ale. Steve, what do you got for us?
Well, Craig, this episode is all about Carl. And, you know, it's been canonically said throughout the years that he is not only Homer, his coworker, but actually his supervisor. And, you know, this episode also deals with Carl's race. And so he is black, and he's also a boss. So that's why I have Black Boss Porter. It's a porter from Poland. It's actually one of my favorite beers of all time. So I know I'm reviewing it, but it's a beer that I've had before. It's one of the first beers that I ever fell in love with. It comes in at 9.4%. Bottle is pretty boring. It just says Black Boss in white text against a black background. Pretty straightforward. There isn't a lot of reviews online, but one says, pours dark chocolate with a fair buff head. Aroma gives roast malt, molasses, funky tones. Flavor presents chocolate, roast malt, wood, subtle funk. Texture features decent body and lively fizz. Sounds like me.
I wanted to make the joke about me.
Oh, sorry. You do have an aroma that gives roast malt and a funky tone.
Thank you.
No, it smells very kind of yeasty and wild.
Love it.
And it, the molasses kind of like that dark kind of similar to yours, like with that raisiny flavor. It's there. It's not super sweet at all. It's just kind of like a little bitter in a good way. It's just a good sipping beer. And even though it's 9.4%, it goes down real smooth, pretty light carbonation. Just a delightful beer. I really like this one. It's kind of my go-to if I don't know what to drink. And it's affordable. It's like $4 for a big bottle. And it's just a great beer all around. So Black Boss, I highly recommend it.
I think we both have beers that are nothing extraordinary. You do your job, get in, get out, get me drunk, make me feel good, and enjoy The Simpsons.
That's right. And why don't we go back in time to the episode that we're about to enjoy today, when it first aired, all the way back to February 26, 2023.
That joke will never get old.
I know. Craig, what was the number one movie in the box office?
Sadly, it wasn't Cocaine Bear, and it's because Steve and I, we didn't set a date to go see that together. We haven't seen it yet, but unfortunately, it was the same one from last week. So Ant-Man and the White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. What were you listening to?
Well, Craig, once again, the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 was Flowers by Miley Cyrus.
Flowers?
Once again, was Flowers by Miley Cyrus.
Let's see where we left off.
Cherry red, master roses that you lay. No remorse, no regret. I forgive every word you say. Ooh, I didn't wanna leave, babe. I didn't wanna fight. Started to cry, but then remembered I can buy myself flowers.
Yeah, we heard her saying that last week. We don't want Spotify to take us down. What do you think Liam Hemsworth thinks of this song?
I think he's probably pretty upset.
Yeah. What about Chris Hemsworth?
He's probably a little Thor.
No. Sorry, you get this.
Fair enough. I thought it was low-key pretty good.
We're big fans of Miley on this podcast. If Miley, I know you're listening. If you ever want to come on. And look, Lady Gaga doesn't want to talk about the episode she was on. Wait, was Miley ever on Simpsons?
I don't think so yet.
Okay, let's fact check real quick. Here on the Simpsons Wiki, we have history. When Mo ran out of beer, Homer said it was impossible. And that's like Miley Cyrus running out of tongue poses. That's funny. She has an appearance mentioned in the Tapped Out game. yeah, she hasn't been on The Simpsons. Oh, guys, how have you not had Miley on The Simpsons? I'm looking at our producers right now, which really is Al Jean. Not that same Al Jean. Just this guy named Al Jean that we saw on the streets. And he said, yeah, you can call me Al Jean.
Yeah, I'm an Al Jean water bottle.
He's just sitting there. Steve and I are looking at him. His hands are in his pants right now with headphones on. I don't think he's even listening to us, is he?
I don't think so.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, Miley, come on the Simpsons podcast. This podcast, we'll talk about the Lady Gaga episode.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Are they arch rivals?
I assume so.
Because women and women can't be friends in Hollywood. They have to be rivals, Steve.
That's right. It's like dogs and cats being boys and girls.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we got to define everyone based on their gender and their race. That's Hollywood.
That's right. Speaking of which, let's talk about this week's episode, Carl Carlson Rides Again, in which Carl discovers the origin of a mysterious rodeo buckle tied to his identity when he's smitten with a beautiful woman.
All right, I'm excited to watch this.
Mm-hmm. Be a nice, comfortable discussion. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Today we're talking about Carl Carlson Rides Again, the 14th episode of the 34th season. It originally aired February 26, 2023. It is episode 742 in the show's run. Your nerd code is OABF07. It was written by Lonnie Still Sothand, directed by Bob Anderson, and your showrunners are Al Jean, Matt Selman, and Rob Lezebnik.
Lonnie, we did episode season 33, episode 17. That was our 167th episode, aired almost a year ago to this day. Well, you know, give or take a month.
Sure.
It was The Sound of Bleeding Gums. You ever notice that months just come one after the other?
It's crazy. Weird. Yeah. They just keep on coming.
So this is her second episode that we reviewed, and her second episode in general.
Yeah.
She is a co-producer, of course, on the show, served as a story editor and executive story editor.
Yeah, and I did a little bit of research on her, and this episode is kind of poignant for her life, too, because she wrote an article in 2011 for Salon.com about affirmative action and the pros and cons of it, especially in the workforce, because she herself is half Black and half Jewish, but when she tells people that she's Black, they don't believe her. And I think that as this episode explores Carl's identity, I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess we'll get into it more. This is going to be Steve and myself throughout this episode commenting on it.
No, we're perfectly comfortable talking about race.
I mean, I can talk about race all day. Oh, me personally, I don't even see color.
So yeah, that's going to be us this episode.
Yeah, this will be an interesting discussion.
Yeah, we do have a guest to talk about race on this show, another cartoonist. Scott Adams will be with us later.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, wait, what? He canceled? Okay. Why? Sorry, producer's telling us something, are you? Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. It's better that he's not here then.
Yeah, probably for the best.
Okay.
This is also a sequel to season 24's The Saga of Carl, in which we learned that he was from Iceland and adopted. We reviewed that one on our 103rd episode back in January of 2021.
Yeah, January 2021. There was a great day in January.
Yeah.
And we like to talk about, I think it was before the 7th and after the 5th of January.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But, you know, we talked about last week that we were hoping that the Icelandic storyline wasn't forgot about, and surprisingly it's not gonna be forgotten about this episode. And you know, kind of thinking about it, Steve, you kind of mentioned about cowboy roots and like your thought of this episode, and it kind of came true. Does that mean that the Wheel of Random is gonna lift the curse and we'll never do this podcast again?
Maybe. We'll have to find out till the end of the episode, but it'd be kind of bittersweet.
Yeah, so that tells me that the Wheel of Random just hates us and probably lies about everything, and you know, we'll have to keep doing this until we're dead, which, you know, not too long from now, I don't think.
2-3 years, maybe.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, That number is both too close and not that far away. Our episode begins with no gags, but it begins, as it always does, with Homer sleeping soundly in a bed like a big toasty cinnamon bun. But his slumber is interrupted by the attractive aroma of cooking chili con carne. Did Marge finally take his suggestion and make dinner for breakfast?
I like how they have a suggestion box.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea, but there's only, four people that can contribute.
Right.
Sorry, Maggie. I mean, you can't write. And the dog
suck,
and the cat.
Suck.
Like, it'd be Marge. Like, that must have been for Maggie. And I was like, nope. That's my homework.
Art.
Steve, you should put a suggestion box in your house.
How about I don't do that? It's hard when you write things because passive aggression can sometimes appear when it doesn't need to be there.
Right.
And I don't know. You know what I mean?
I loved the suggestion box, or I guess it wasn't a suggestion, but the when you were in middle school or in the sex ed class, and there was always the write down your questions anonymously. And there's always some kid that writes, something funny. We all laugh.
Yeah.
Like, where do boners come from?
Yeah.
And then you see the one kid, like, sulking down. It's like, he wasn't trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And they said, Craig, see me after class. <I'm> like, oh. Wait, I said anonymous, didn't I? Damn it. Can we cut what I just said? Thanks.
Sure. Yeah. It's fine. Homer runs downstairs to learn that Marge made the chili for Ned, who broke his arm pulling off the Simpsons roof, attempting to retrieve Homer's baseball cap. Homer mentions how much he paid for the cap, then wears it, revealing that it says free hat.
Remember that episode of South Park where they were trying, I forget what the point was, but they were trying to get the community together for something, and they go offer something. They're like, free hat. Cool. So then like everyone can show up because there's a free hat.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently like the free hat was, there's a person named Hat who's like a predator. And there's all these people, yeah, that's free hat from jail. Like, he's like the worst offender of all time.
That's pretty funny.
Fun episode. Yeah, we were talking about like the South Park a few weeks ago and how like we don't know if like there's new episodes. There's always something on like Paramount Plus or they do something like that. And then literally the day after we record that episode, I'm watching Comedy Central. It's like an all new South Park tomorrow. I'm like, what? South Park's back?
Wow.
Yeah.
Weird.
And it was funny because like, I was talking about how the fans complained that the show turned into like the Randy Marsh show. And it's all about Randy. And then I'm watching like that episode and like watched the first, they've had a couple of new episodes. It's all been about the kids. It's back to old South Park form.
Huh. That's great.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Imagine that, a TV show where it's the cartoons about the characters that you've been wanting to watch.
And the titular characters all appear in the same episode.
Yeah. No, it has nothing to do with this episode. That's not my review of it. We're kind of the opposite, I think, on the reviews on the Simpsons. Is like we've not complained, but we've always said in the past that let's do more stories about the other people of Springfield, because there's only so much you can do about the family, and here we are.
Yeah, it's fun to explore different ways to tell a story, and it seems like with those characters, you kind of have the things that you fall back on. So this is interesting. It's fun.
Yep, it's kind of goes back to the Road to Cincinnati, which is the Chalmers and Skinner episode.
Mm-hmm.
But this one has more Simpsons in it. Well, at least three.
Yeah.
Going back to the suggestion box and the dinner for breakfast, I think it's a fun play on the breakfast or dinner. Mm-hmm. So would you prefer a dinner for breakfast, like that kind of meal?
I mean, I don't want to have spaghetti for breakfast and then I go to lunch and then there's spaghetti, because I'm not comfortable with having two spaghetti dinners in one day.
Well, your father, Kirk, was not fond of that either.
Right, exactly.
I guess there are certain foods like a steak and eggs
is
a breakfast thing, but you can also have that at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
I think a very heavy Italian meal, like a lasagna or spaghetti, like you said. I know you're making a Simpsons joke, but yeah, that doesn't sound. Although, they always say cold pizza, leftover pizza is the breakfast of champions, right?
Mm-hmm. And, joggers, they eat a lot of carbs before they run. So,
yeah. And turns out that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I've probably said it before. I'm not a big breakfast guy. Like, I like breakfast food, but I don't like eating in the morning.
Yeah. I can't eat first thing in the morning. It takes me a little bit. And
Let's get back to the Simpsons. Marge explains to Homer that she started a meal train for Ned. Homer then imagines a train made of a hero sandwich leaving the choo-choo station and riding the tracks into his mouth. And this is just a very funny visual joke, because one thing, that choo-choo train looks delicious.
It does.
And the fact that in Homer's mind, he hears people screaming from eating the train. What creativity? One thing. Yeah, Homer has, you know, it's.
Yeah, it's great. It is funny.
Choo train.
It's funny that it wasn't a subterranean vehicle.
Well, Homer's not that smart.
Yeah, I guess that's one step too far. But yeah, it was really funny. I love the animation.
Anyway, so hearing about that gives Homer an idea.
Coming up with a fake injury to get obscene amounts of free food, you say?
No, I don't say. And stop stroking your chin like that.
Poor Barney. So sorry to hear about your treadmill injury.
Yeah, it's my fault for being so addicted to cardio.
Well, my chicken enchiladas, which aren't from the freezer aisle, should ease your suffering as only homemade can.
Bless you, ladies. Let the healing begin.
Remember, Mo, tomorrow you got foot shredded and garbage disposal.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna be swimming in sympathy meatballs. This scam is genius.
Yeah, people like doing charity, but they love posting about it.
We are wretched.
All right, so for cartoon food, Steve, I know this is a podcast and we can't show you, but what do you think of those casseroles that Luann and Bernice bring in?
I mean, Bernice's looks more interesting, but it also is very colorful. It looks pretty good. Luann's looks a little sad.
No, yeah, Bernice looks great.
Yeah.
It looks like she put on, like, not the, like, shredded cheese, but, like, the actual, like, can of, like, Cheese Whiz or not cheese, but the, like, the Fritos cheese. I don't like Cheese Whiz, but I like the Frito cheese dip or just, like, the Tostino's queso dip. That stuff's good.
Yeah.
But nothing could be, like, the ballpark or the... The nacho cheese from, like, the ballpark or the movie theater. That's the best.
It's so good. It's
what brand
probably
is
mostly
that?
Plastic, but I don't even know, but...
I haven't found the appropriate flavor for that, but it looks pretty good. Yeah, what Luann's there looks kind of like... this kind of looks like mac and cheese, doesn't it?
Yeah. Also, it looks like Moe's noshing on, like, a gross, like, Jell-O salad.
From, like, the 60s. It was like cookbooks that have everything's made of Jell-O. It looks more like cottage cheese.
It could be.
I think
too.
You're right too. Yeah. It's probably just like lard and cheese balls.
I'm listening.
Also, the fact that Homer is like eating from the middle out. I would eat from the edge in because the crust of anything is always the best. You want that crunchy bit.
Oh, yeah.
This is
it's
a fun,
like the band U2. The edge is the best part.
You don't want to eat the middle part known as the Bono?
Exactly.
Bono? Did I say his name wrong?
It doesn't matter.
You too?
Me too.
Could you eat with a spatula like Homer does? Like, that's just too much to get my mouth around.
Yeah, it's a lot to swallow.
And the fact that he's wearing a little conductor hat is very humorous.
So I have a list of all the foods in the schedule because that's what I am. But I don't know that we need to go through all of them. But kudos to the writers for writing all of them.
This probably was just like 1 or 2 days of them sitting in the writing room. Like, all right, you need to figure out the Sundays, the Monday, and then who's what. You know, like Al Jean comes in. It's like, can you guys just actually write the show and stop this one visual gag that's going to be shown for half a second?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's what they do with like the like story editors or, you know, the newer people. It's like, all right, this is your job for the week is to come up with food menu items. What are some of the good? What were some of those that stand out for you?
Mrs. Munce's classy girl buffet, breast and thighs.
You know, there is that for Tuesday. It says for lunch, Luann's store-bought enchiladas. So maybe that's what Luann's is right there.
Yeah, because for dinner, they're having Bernice's better version of whatever Luann brings.
Yeah, so but what maybe we're seeing Tuesday.
I think we are. I think we're living through a Tuesday.
So Mrs. Munce's classy girl's buffet, breasts and thighs. Maybe that's what Moe's eating.
Yeah.
Or maybe Krusty's whatever Mr. Teeny doesn't eat is what Moe's eating right there.
That could be.
That's what it looks like.
Bowling it up, yeah.
But it could be, but also this could be Wednesday because something that looks like there's green on it. It looks like Mr. Skinner's bitter greens with sour cream kind of looks like what's in front of Homer there.
Yeah. And
who? Moments prune stroganoff? That's kind of gross.
Yeah. You get some popcorn up the deal.
Let's go to Thursday for breakfast. Smithers Endangered Panda Express.
That's
so
funny.
Smithers, probably like he has so much endangered panda meat at Mr. Burns' house. And maybe Mr. Burns doesn't like panda meat. So Smithers is like, well, I'm just going to donate it.
I don't like foreign food. I think if you jump to Saturday, I think it's sweet that Marge makes pancakes, but she's aware. So she calls them, I know this is a scams cakes. Also on Saturday.
Let's talk about the lunch. Yeah.
It's old Jewish man's matzo ball soup with extra large and salty balls.
How did that get past the censors?
Yeah, that's pretty bold for The Simpsons.
Hey, look, on Saturday, speaking of Saturday, you have dinner with Mike Wegman's Homer's favorite donkey steak. That's Michael Rapaport's character, right?
Yeah.
He's just he's like a B-level character now on the show.
Bumblebee man level character.
You know, they're like, well, we can't have a poo on the show anymore. What else can we have? I don't know. Michael Rapaport is some dorky white guy with red hair. Yeah. All right.
Sold.
You know, I was watching the this episode, and Moe's has the picture of like the B sharps in the background, and there's, you know, Apu is a part of that. God, mm-hmm. I really miss Apu. I know he's a stereotype.
Yeah.
But I just miss that character.
He's a lot of fun, and he was such a big part of the show. Like, I feel like that's why Lenny and Carl and Barney are so prevalent now, is because they need like a single male character, or I guess they meant a male character in general.
Let's bring Apu back, and if you think the stereotype is, you know, with an Indian owning a convenience store in America is a stereotype that needs to go away. You know, we totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say, you know, maybe he doesn't own the Quickie Mart anymore. Make him something else.
Yeah.
I just want Apu back. Mm-hmm. Hire an Indian actor. That's all we're saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that character.
Yeah, that's a good character.
Hire a new actress to play Manjulup, and all will be right with The Simpsons world.
That's right.
And, you know, recast Wiggum to an actual pig.
Of course. He's so close already, but.
Yeah. There's also an injury key too on the little thing there. So they have Mo with the foot shredded. So they know what lie to or scam to say.
Right.
Barney's got his treadmill disaster. Carl's got the Munchausen by Lenny. Lenny's got fell off roof into a vat of whooping cough. And then Homer's got tiger pox.
Tiger pox sounds scary.
Is it just from sitting down watching too much Tiger King?
Yeah.
Which Steve and I are still proud to say during the pandemic, we never watched that.
Nope. Seemed too depressing.
I mean, we probably stayed and watched The Wire, right?
Yeah.
Wait, Steve, you still haven't seen The Wire?
I know. I need to see The Wire.
That's okay. I haven't watched The Wire yet. Someday. Instead, I'm doing my fifth rewatch of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I have priorities, you know?
Yeah. I got to finish up season 5 of Night Court.
Hey, you're on. I'm on 6 now. I'm getting close.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hijinks ensue.
An array of wacky defendants come to court. Dan is horny. Harry does magic. Mel Torme.
But we're not a Night Court podcast, unfortunately.
Nope. Sadly, no. Back to The Simpsons. As Homer, Lenny, Barney, and Moe enjoy their ill-gotten food, Carl reminds them that bowling season starts the following week, and they're out of shape for bowling. Carl jumps off the meal train and begins to work out, watching the MyTube video, A Bowling Buff's Guide to Getting Bowling Buff. And in a montage, Carl does crunches, lunges, and pull-ups, all with the aid of a bowling ball or two.
So then, having lost a lot of weight, Carl finds that his pants no longer stay up, revealing his bowling pin boxers.
He really likes bowling.
Needing a belt for the first time in a while, he reaches into the drawer and pulls out a belt with a large gold buckle that shows a cowboy appearing to bite the lip of a bull. So Carl tells the old mystery buckle that it's been a while and heads to the bowling alley. So Carl throws a strike while his teammates continue to gorge on food made by the kindness of others. So just then in this clip, Carl is awestruck by the vision of beauty.
Look, I'm just here for my friend's kid's birthday party, okay? And you're telling me that I have to put on other people's funky shoes?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. That spray he uses? Super toxic. Some might say intoxicating.
So, Carl, you're good with wearing pre-stank rental shoes?
Oh, no. I own these babies. Also my work shoes, my Crocs, orthotic inserts. Pretty much all my footwear. Own them all. Free and clear.
Ooh, fancy. You know, you're kind of sweet in a super chatty, shoe-splainy kind of way. I'm Naima. Whoa, now that is some serious belly bling.
Oh, this? I needed something to hold up my pants, so I immediately thought, belt.
Thank you for walking me through that. So, Carl, maybe I'll see you around.
Wait! Give me a chance to show you why bowling is America's slowest dying indoor sport. I'll even get Franco here to unbox a new pair of Lane Janes.
I love how Carl is very dorky in front of Naima. Like, how many times us fellas are in front of someone we find attractive and just be total dad joke?
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing. We're in embarrassing sex.
We are. We're not attractive.
No. I mean, maybe Carl's the best looking out of all the bunch, but Naima, you know, she's pretty good looking.
Yeah.
You know, she's a 10, where he's, you know, maybe a soft 6.
I'd say so.
I mean, Steve and I wish we were both a soft 6 in many ways.
That's true.
But
I'd be happy with a hard 4.
Naima, that's voiced by Don Lewis. I'm going to assume, she's a Simpsons voice regular now because she also voices Bernice. You might know her from other shows like she was on Different World, Hanging with Mr. Cooper. But she's really a prolific voice actor these days. And I mean, for dorks like me, and we've done one podcast with her, not The Simpsons. She's Captain Freeman on Star Trek Lower Decks.
Hey.
We've talked about her before on this podcast, but yeah, we love a good old Don Lewis here. So, you know, it's great that they didn't do a stunt casting of a different actress and that they're just using an actual, you know, Simpsons voice actor in Don Lewis, meaning like,
maybe
gets me thinking that reoccurring character, maybe.
I think I really hope so.
Yeah. But we'll see, you know how they always have characters fall in love and then that character just goes away, never seen again. That's how you do sitcoms and TV shows.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out, Steve. I guess let's just hit play back on the show, okay?
Already.
And Naima is glad that Carl is cuter than the bowling shoes as he takes her to the lanes. And Naima throws her ball and she slips, but Carl's there to catch her. She's then impressed as Carl spins a bowling ball on his finger, much to the delight of the children in the alley. He tries to bounce it off his head, but that causes him to fall down and go boom, possibly with the concussion. Naima throws a 7-10 split and knocks down the remaining 2 pins. And the monitor above in the lane shows 2 animated bowling pins. Sorry, I'm laughing so much. Falling 11 and beginning to, like, you know, go at it. It's just a very long, like, animation of them. Like, the bowling pin starts, like, fiddling around in the back. It's a very funny animated scene. Like, it's going on way too long. It might be my favorite visual gag of this episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun animation in this one, like, between that and the sub train, food train.
It's good. I just want that to be an animated GIF. I don't know how to make animated GIFs, but I want it to be, like, zoom it in, cut it out, and then just on our GeoCities webpage showing that in the background.
Next to the construction site GIFs. So Naima and Carl share awkward glances before Carl asks to see her again. Naima offers to see him on Friday at a restaurant that she knows called the Soul House. She knows the restaurant because she owns it. She then shows Carl a commercial that her nephew made for the Soul Food Eatery.
Soul House! Our grits are cheesy and the gubbles got okra. You'll get told if your pocket's Springfield yoga.
There's a 14-minute version on his SoundCloud. It's really explicit.
That I'll meet you at Soul House. Where's it at?
It's on our side of town, between the Jazz Hole and the First Springfield AME Church.
Yeah, of course. Our side. I mean, where else would it be? Guys, I just met the one. The one person here willing to go out on a date with me.
Oh, wow, way to go!
Someone's not gonna die alone.
So that's why you abandoned us and made us lose to the worst team in the league.
Good game, bitches.
Literally the Hans moment. I did not expect him. Like, it was very funny.
Just the amount, the length of that pause.
Yes.
It's so funny.
We'll call that a lion joke because of the length of the pause, Steve.
Right.
Very stuff. Hey, Steve, speaking of Hans Molman, the worst team in the league, the Weaklings, is made up of Hans Molman, as we heard, old Jewish man with the very long, big, salty balls of his. I got a squeaky voice teen, and then Wendell, Mr. Wendell.
Hey.
Who was that song that was
Arrested Development?
You know, their first 3 albums were really good.
Yeah, but then they got that new label.
The fourth album was like very mixed reviews on that one. We're like,
I feel like the tracks were in the wrong order.
Yeah. And then like they released it a few years later with the fourth album, the tracks in order, but I didn't listen to it. And then I forgot there was a whole 5th album that I never watched. I mean, listened to.
Right. Me neither.
But unfortunately, you know, I don't think we'll get a 6th album because, you know, one of their members, Jessica Walters, has passed. And another member is problematic, Jeffrey Tambor.
Right. And Preach might need to do another season of Ozark or something.
Yeah. Wait, what are we talking about?
The Simpsons.
Oh, but then also, you know, I heard with the rest of development, their new label, they just dropping them in a few months.
That's right. And you can't even get the old albums, the good ones.
Luckily, I still have my old CDs for the first three albums. I can listen to those anytime I want.
Nice.
Do you think, I know Naima is wearing a Howard University shirt, but it feels like that was a last minute ad. The ad to the Howard just looks weird to me. Like, it's mm-hmm. almost like they were going to put something on her shirt and they forgot to. And like, oh, well, they mentioned that she's from Howard University. Let's just make it like she's wearing a Howard University shirt. Doesn't it look like too digital in a weird way? You know what I'm saying?
It does look kind of weird.
Like someone just learning Photoshop is like, I'm going to Photoshop the word Howard on her sweater.
Or maybe you're just a pervert and you're looking at her chest too much.
Yes, a 40-year-old man is staring at an animated character's breast, Steve. That's not what a Simpsons fan is like. We're not sexually depraved nerds.
That's right, not at all.
Anyways, back to the sexually depraved characters on the show. Yes. We'll go to the nuclear power plant. Carl plays an explicit extended 14-minute version of that Soul House rap. And Lenny has never heard a more sexually graphic song about collard greens. Well, apparently Lenny's not a fan of Weird Al.
It's true.
You know, everyone listens to the Weird Al, like the parody songs, but man, some of his deep cuts are originals. Jeez.
Ooh, filthy. Oh,
sexually graphic songs about food.
Mm-hmm.
Carl is smitten and impressed with Naima, and she has a business degree from Harvard University. She sings in a gospel choir, and she's in a Salt and Peppa cover band just called Peppa and Peppa. Carl is worried that Naima will think he's not Peppa enough, and Homer assumes they're referring to Peppa Pig. Dumb's like, oh, Peppa Pig. I get it. Like, Homer knows more about Peppa Pig because he's got kids. We don't have kids.
Yeah.
All he knows is a Peppa Pig looks like a drawing of a dick and balls, right?
Yes. And then there's a lot of jokes, or one joke that just keeps on showing up on the internet, where it's a Peppa Pig jigsaw puzzle and it's just a package of sliced ham.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Because pigs are made of food.
Right. And food is made of pigs.
Yeah. You know, pigs, stop being so tasty. We wouldn't eat you.
That's right. Be more like a cat. What?
Steve just admitted he doesn't eat pussy.
No, that's not true. I'm not like DJ Khaled.
Yeah, you're more of a Michael Douglas guy, right? You're going to get right. mouth cancer.
Yeah. On the Khaled Douglas scale, I lean more towards Douglas.
Looking up to cheer his pal, Lenny offers his clippers for a haircut. Already set to Carl, the Carl declines, saying that he needs to make the right impression. This means he's going somewhere he's never gone before, his side of town.
At the Hair Do the Right Thing barbershop, several of Springfield's Black residents get their haircuts, while Carl looks over the hairstyle guide, not sure which one is him. The barber offers the identity crisis, number 7, which on this chart is actually an afro. And as Lenny waits to get his trim, a familiar voice next to him sits and speaks.
Thank you, sir. High top fade, tight on the sides, line it up.
Bartholomew, my man. You are a regular here?
No one gets it right like Clarence.
Wow, look at all these great bald guy options. I think my head could rock the Michael Jordan on the top, but around the sides, gotta be the Ving Rhames.
I can't decide which haircut would this beautiful woman want to guess.
Wow.
You think I can pull off the Denzel?
What you need to pull off is that country junkyard hubcap holding up your Dockers. Yeah, why don't you put that buckle back on that manhole you stole it from?
Who knew there was so much ribbing at a black barbershop?
Steve, why do I feel like your dad only ever got his hair cut at like a black barber shop?
Because he did. For a long time, yeah.
Like the only white guy to go in there.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, Jim, hey, how's it going?
Your dad was pretty liberal.
He was very liberal. Like he marched in Alabama in the 60s on the right side. On the proper side, on the not racist side. He had some like post-World War II ideas about manufacturing in other countries that might not be so popular today. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he's pretty liberal about most things.
All right.
And honestly, you know, I haven't been to any sort of barbershop in like 15 years because I shaved my own head. But I don't particularly like barbershops, the ones that I went to. But black barbershops always seem real cool.
We're like the opposite because I have long hair and you have no hair.
Mm-hmm.
So going to a barber. Like, I hated always getting my hair cut because everyone does. You know, it's the whole stupid small talk. It's like, so mm-hmm. what do you do? It's like, you don't want to talk about that. And it's so weird because the times I've gone, I'm so standoffish in person. So it's like, I hear everyone else having these conversations, you know, the person next to me getting a haircut. It's like, oh yeah, I've just been fiddling around with my hemorrhoids, getting those cleared up. You know, it's the same old stuff. How about you? You know? Oh yeah. Working on my anal fissures. I don't know.
Right.
You know, so something so personal. Here I am like, what do you do? I'm like, don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me. And so, even if it's like not bad stuff, like sometimes they'll just be like, so what are you up to? And I'm like, I've got absolutely nothing going on.
Getting a haircut.
Yeah. This is my thing for the day.
Yeah. I do one thing a day mm-hmm. and this is it.
Yeah.
I feel accomplished. I'm going to go home and play video games and watch mm-hmm. The Simpsons.
Exactly.
But, you know, since you're a bald guy, let's talk about the bald guy options there and stuff that you can get. You got the Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm. The George Foreman.
The Michael Jordan.
The talk show host, Steve Harvey.
The game show host, Steve Harvey.
The Ving Rhames.
The Samuel L. Jackson.
The Terry Crews cut.
The Al Roker.
And the Rock.
I mean, I think the funniest ones are the Terry Crews cut.
Mm-hmm.
It's crew cut. And then the Rock. And the Steve Harvey game show and talk show. Oh, he doesn't have a talk show anymore, right? He's just
I don't
game
think
show?
So. Yeah. No. He's probably a garbage person, but that Family Feud is a lot of fun.
Well, don't you remember a few years ago, there was a statement about like his talk show that he didn't want anyone to talk to him before tapings.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, I think, was on his side because I wanted to be a guest on the show. No, because it was something like, you know, he's got to get into his mindset because he like works all the time. He's got the game mm-hmm. show and then the talk show at the time. And probably is one of those types that also does like stand up every weekend. Kind of right. like a Leno type, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Harvey, as I know, has never touched his Tonight Show money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, his Family Feud money. But like, you know, he probably needs to get in his Zen moment, like being bombarded with assistants or people on the show, like, hey, or just talking to him. You know, I get it. I know he's like super religious and like frowns upon people that don't accept Jesus. So that's kind of the garbage person that you're talking about.
Yeah. But
he's not very accepting in that way.
Yeah.
But what a great
stash. Frustrated. Yeah. When he gets frustrated on Family Feud,
it's the funniest.
Just looks around like, oh, I got 18 buttons on my suit. Great. back to the Simpsons. Carl then heads to the Secondhand Brothers clothing shop, where they are no longer accepting Cosby sweaters, much to the disappointment of Dr. Hibbert. Good callback.
Another funny visual gag. Yeah.
Yeah. Bart suggests Carl sport an old school Kangol, but he's not sure if he should Samuel L. Jackson his new Denzel. Carl is unsure of what his new look should be, and Homer asks if there's something that Carl needs to talk about, but Carl scoffs and then asks if he's going through a deep questioning of his inner self. Could he fix it with new clothes? Homer thinks so, since he was a lost soul before he found his white shirt and blue pants. Carl just wants Naima to look at him the way Marge looks at Homer. Not worried, but blindly in love. Carl then tries out a few new looks inspired by...
We got Pharrell Williams in his iconic big hat.
We got Spike Lee as Mookie from Do the Right Thing.
Dr. Dre in his NWA era.
And Billy Porter just being fabulous.
And then in another very funny scene, I think the shopkeeper interrupts the dressing room montage, telling them to buy something or get their Yacht Rock listening corny asses back to the Starbucks. I find this joke very funny. Like, I want to see this in a movie, like a teen dating movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the girl tries on new dresses and just the idea. I don't think I've seen this before where the shopkeeper, can you stop doing this?
Yeah. Trying to run a business. Yeah.
And where's this music coming from? He opens up, there's like all these pile of clothes and just like, he's gonna put those back. As someone who's worked in retail and had to clean up dressing rooms, it sucks. It's annoying.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And I've always been, and I hate it because I worked in retail and I'd always tell people like, oh, just leave it on the rack or just, you know, I'll get to it. And it was easy because I'd put it back because I wouldn't trust people like to put it back themselves. Whereas like when I try something on during retail, I made sure to put it back exactly where I found it.
Of course, yeah.
But anyway, so the clothing store owner notices Carl's belt buckle and Carl's tired of getting a savagely razzed every time he wears the buckle. But if Carl gives the buckle, the store owner has the perfect outfit to make Carl look real and authentic.
So Carl arrives outside of Soul House dressed in the shopkeeper's outfit, consisting of red frames, a purple blazer, and a t-shirt featuring revolutionary activist and Black Panther co-founder Huey P. Newton.
Can we say how funny that visual gag too?
It's yeah.
Just like, I'll make you look so fly, just literally wearing the same outfit as the shopkeeper.
Yeah, really funny. Inside, Carl finds Naima, who tells him that Soul House began as an idea 75 years ago.
My great-grandparents started out selling gumbo off of a cart. They gave free samples out to the kids, you know, just poured it right into their cupped hands. That cart, it became my favorite table in the house.
Wow, that's a lot of history and ancestors and flavor.
So, tell me about you. You know, like, what are you into besides bowling?
Don't talk about Moe's. Don't talk about Moe's. Lenny!
Who's Lenny?
Just my friend from Moe's.
Oh, that's cool. I see you're into the Black Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Wakanda forever.
No, Huey P. Newton, the guy that's on your shirt.
Oh, right. Him. My man, old Huey P. 1942 to 1989, early life and education.
Are you Googling him under the table?
No, I was just looking at this dope kale.
Those are collard greens.
Right. I love all the urban veggies.
Urban veggies? Okay, you embarrassing yourself right now.
It was interesting because you're talking about how Lonnie is from a multicultural background, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she just identifies as a person of herself. But, you know, people like, oh, you're not Black. And she'd be like, well, you know, I am,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And so like Carl having to apologize too, it's just his life he grew up with. But it's a weird, like you said, forced perspective that I think as people have on other people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he looks a certain way doesn't automatically make you everything that your culture has to represent.
Yeah.
And no one should ever apologize for that.
Yeah. And I think it's just really speaks to just people being true to their own identity, allowing people to do that and not having society and their own expectations dictate what that person should be.
Yeah.
In that clip, there is a scene where she mentions that they would just pour the gumbo into the children's hands. It's a very funny joke.
All right. Well, Carl apologizes to say that he's new to all this. And then Naima asks if he means new to being Black. But Carl clarifies that he's just trying to be more convincing, you know, with his new Denzel haircut, his secondhand leather underwear. Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
His Michael Jordan clone and then also his Michael B. Jordan aftershave. But she's overwhelmed by everything Carl is saying. But, you know, she just likes the guy she met in the bowling alley. She just wants to know the guy better, but can't wait until Carl knows who he really is. So she tells him to work on that and offers to have the restaurant wrap up the oxtails to go. You know, we were talking about food earlier with all those casserole dishes, and now mm-hmm. we're at the restaurant. And man, that food looks way better than those casseroles.
Oh, looks so good.
Like that fried catfish.
Oh,
like legit looks good.
Yeah.
I want the collard greens. I want the oxtail. There's crawdads. I'm not a big crawdaddy.
I could get down with some crawdads.
You know, they're just baby lobsters. Give me a full grown lobster. But again, we're Pacific Northwesterners and we're all about the crabs here.
Yeah, I love having crabs.
I'm itching for some crabs.
My pubes are full of crabs. But yeah, the food does look delicious. Soul food is one of the finest delicacies to me. I could just eat it all the time. It wasn't so
bad good. For you.
And bad for you, yeah. Carl then goes on.
Is Carl drinking a mint julep there?
I think he is. Yeah, that looks like it.
God. I know it's not summertime yet, and it never will be, but I want a mint julep right about now.
They always sound delicious. So Carl then goes on a journey of self-discovery, walking through the Black side of Springfield, past such businesses as...
Diana Ross, Dress for Less.
Hit and Play Daycare.
Be Loved Organic Honey.
Black Girl Magic Shop.
Black Heroes, Heroes.
Spike Lee's Joints.
That's really good. I Have a Dream Mattresses.
James Baldwin's Fire Pits Next Time.
And Malcolm... Triple X adult toys. Jeez. I'm going to Spike Lee's Joints, and then probably after that, go to Malcolm X's Triple X's adult toys
for sure. And I'll probably stop by Black Heroes Heroes because you're gonna get hungry after visiting Spike Lee's Joints.
I'm kind of curious about Black Girl Magic Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it like Wiccan stuff or Magic the Gathering card game?
Could be both.
I mean, the beloved organic honey. We all could use some honey in our life.
Yeah. And Kid and Play Daycare. That just sounds like a daycare.
Which, why would you go to that, Steve? Don't be weird.
Oh, sorry.
So Carl then heads to Moe's, where he finds his familiar friends, and Homer notices that he's back early and takes it as a good sign, remembering the shorter the date, the more it went great. Oh, Homer, that's not how it works.
No.
Carl replies that the date was horrible. Naima only wants to talk about the real Carl. And despite Moe's sign not allowing inner reflection, Carl tries to figure himself out.
I think I know what she was getting at, but see, it's got to do with... Nah, never mind. You guys wouldn't understand.
Sure we would. We're your best friends. We pee in the same trough together.
We've melted so much ice.
Just say what you need to say, huh? We got this.
I'm confused about my racial identity. Hey, I know avoidance slurps when I hear them.
No, we're perfectly comfortable talking about race.
I mean, I can talk about race all day.
Oh, me personally, I don't even see color.
Look, being adopted and raised by white folks from Iceland, I've always felt like an outsider. Not Icelandic enough, not black enough. I mean, hey, sure, I'm barfly enough, but that's not enough.
Hey, barflies have a rich and storied...
I don't know anything about my roots. That stupid old rodeo belt buckle was the only thing I ever got from my birth parents.
Oh, there's that clip that I played earlier. Mm-hmm. Us talking about a race. We're not the best examples to talk about that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, we're two dumb white guys, so...
Yeah, there you go.
Homer points out that Carl gave the buckle away. Carl says it was a panic swap in an attempt to get rid of his sucky feeling of emptiness. But now it's worse than ever. If he's ever going to be with someone as great as Naima, he needs to find out who he is. So he leaves Moe's knowing the answer isn't the bar, leaving Homer, Lenny, and Carl to slurp their beers nervously.
That evening at 742 Evergreen Terrace, Homer paces in his bedroom, missing his Carl, especially on public domain karaoke night. Homer could sing Toot Toot Tootsie Goodbye without his duet partner. Marzen offers some advice that she picked up from her book club, which she's reading the book Caucasian Brittleness.
My book club book says it's important to look at the discomfort you felt as an opportunity to explore your unacknowledged privilege.
Oh, buzzwords?
Have you even called him?
What am I supposed to say?
Let's start with what you're not supposed to say. My feelings matter, too.
Said that.
Slavery was a long time ago.
Thought that.
But I love Eddie Murphy.
Lenny tweeted that. I just want things to be normal again.
Huh? That's on the list.
Doesn't that book have any suggestions for what I should do?
Not to gesture, not to quote, not to laugh too hard at, not to think, not to wear on Halloween, not to sing along to in the car. Look, Homer, I know you. You're never going to say the right thing. But that doesn't mean you should stop trying.
Marge was talking to us, right?
Yeah.
We never say the right thing, but we should not stop trying, right?
That's right. We should keep on trying.
That's a fun clip. Just all the things you're not supposed to do and Halloween costumes, what to wear. And
mm-hmm.
Homer then texts Lenny, Barney, and Moe the letters LHC, which, Steve, what do you think they mean?
LHC.
Maybe Lenny hates Carl?
Oh, no. Maybe it's Luann has chlamydia.
Lisa hangs Christ.
Lindsay hates Craig.
Oh, no. Lorleen Lumpkin humps Chevy Chase. You see, because that's Beverly D'Angelo's voice and they're married.
Right.
The vacation movies. Okay.
Let's have chowder.
Let's have chowder.
Say it, Frenchy.
Lionel Hutz, cremated. Little helper cat? Lunch lady has cookie?
Live hot children?
See, we're trying to keep it in the Simpsons world.
Oh, sorry. Lewis has cupcakes.
There you go. Lewis has cupcakes. Steve, what's it really mean?
Let's help Carl.
All right. So Mo replies, GBBB. We're not going to do this in the same bed. But Homer clarifies that stands for get belt buckle back. And then Barney chimes in by saying belt buckle is key with the emoji key. The four of them then head to secondhand bros clothing so Lenny can sell his vintage suspenders to buy back the buckle. Lenny's happy to help his friend. Especially since he's got shoulder grooves and nipple abrasions from those suspenders. He's got a whole box full of suspenders, but he's still wearing suspenders.
Man, love suspenders. Did you ever have suspenders, Craig?
So I have a couple pair, and I still have some I bought when I was in high school. I was in the jazz band, so calm down, ladies. But I was at a vintage shop or a secondhand store, and I saw a pair of suspender suspenders that have piano keys on them. And I thought, I'm definitely going to wear these because I'm in the jazz band. But also, I didn't play the piano. I played the trombone. So why would I have piano? It's music. So why not, right?
Right.
I had piano suspenders and a guitar necktie. And how I didn't get laid in high school is beyond me.
It's a mystery.
If we ever do a live podcast, should I just sport the piano suspenders and the guitar necktie?
For sure,
and
yeah.
With like one of our Simpsons shirts. That'll be the look.
I like it. I think it's a Stone Cold Fox look. You should totally do it.
I definitely, you know, can I just like send them to like Jason Momoa and have him put them on to take a picture and then send them back to me? So like, yeah, see, Jason Momoa wears them. I'll send them to Michael B. Jordan. You know, he was named Sexiest Man a couple years ago. Make him wear that. And then sure. I can feel
yeah, create a trend.
Yeah.
So people realize just how sexy you are.
Yeah. And then Paul Rudd wears them like, oh, no, he's just being funny. Like, God damn it.
But he's so likable.
And he was also named People's Sexiest Man a couple years ago, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of the People Magazine Sexiest Man. I don't think Jason Momoa is yet to be named, right?
I don't think so.
One of these days. Maybe after Aquaman 2 comes out, right?
Yeah. And, you know, Mel Gibson gets it one more time.
as soon as Rupert Murdoch buys People Magazine.
Right. White People Magazine. Why did I change the title? Carl finds Homer and the gang and is happy that they had the same idea as he did. They step into the store to get the buckle back, but finds that it's been sold to a white guy who talks funny. Homer points out that could have been any weirdo in Springfield. And we then hear Groundskeeper Willie, Sideshow Mel, and Captain McAllister all exclaim in their funny white guy manner. The store owner then comments on the gentrification of the neighborhood and then offers some further advice about the owner of the belt buckle.
Look, I don't know who bought your buckle. All I know is I call him the Rich Texan on account of him being a rich Texan.
I love buckles. Yee-haw! Well, that's doing its thing. Let's talk.
My buckle shows a cowboy wrestling a bull and kind of kissing it.
Oh, that one. Ain't no smooch. He's biting its lip. Bulldogging. I already flipped it.
You sold it?
To a pal of mine who's a real bucklehead. He said it had a heaping helping of historical heritage.
Do you think the guy who bought it could help me find my roots?
Well, it's a long shot. Fellas, meet the host of Finding Your Roots, Dr. Henry Louis Gates, Jr.
Dr. Gates? You're a national treasure.
Please, at best, I'm a regional treasure. That buckle is a stunning piece of American history.
I just love that bit with the shopkeeper talking about all the funny voices in Springfield. And then, yeah, all those. And then the Rich Texan, which I saw coming. It was like one of those things like, oh, it better be the Rich Texan that has the belt buckle. And it was a delightful, like, yay, I was right type of moments.
Yeah.
And, like, doing the traditional shooting the guns in the air, and, like, the consequences of it, really. It's like just the bullet going everywhere.
And the fact that he acknowledges it, like, we're just going to let that do its thing. Very funny. Also, that's Dr. Henry Louis Gates, Jr., a literary critic, professor, historian, and filmmaker, probably best known by people who watch TV as the host of Finding Your Roots on PBS. It's basically a show where celebrities and people of note kind of discover their genealogy through Dr. Gates's work. And, you know, he has a team of experts. And it's always a very entertaining show. You learn a lot about their history and, you know, kind of the history of America. And sometimes it's heartbreaking. Sometimes it's heartwarming. But it's just it's a really fun, interesting show. And also, I got to say, it's kind of cool that Rich Texan would be friends with Dr. Louis Henry Gates because, you know, Texas, racism, all that.
Yeah. So you've watched the show?
Yeah, I've seen quite a few episodes. I believe there's one with Jeff Goldblum that is as about as fun as you can imagine.
Yeah, I watched that one too. It was weird. He was like, Jeff, this is a first. You're not actually human. You're an alien. Jeff Goldblum, he's not very, very human.
No, in fact, he has two siblings, Damon Wayans and Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I heard they just came to this planet because they found out that some Earth ladies are pretty easy to get in the sack.
That's right.
They courted Gina Davis.
Mm-hmm. Famed archer, Gina Davis.
Julie Brown, I think, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not downtown Julie Brown, just Julie Brown.
That's right.
Yeah, no, Jeff Goldblum, he's not human, right?
No, not at all.
Okay. I'm holding back trying to do an impersonation of Jeff Goldblum because everyone knows how he sounds like. It's kind of like that whole, like, everyone knows how to do a Christopher Walken impersonation, but they really don't.
Yeah.
So right. I know Jeff Goldblum's mannerisms, but if I did it, it would be more like how Conan O'Brien does it, just like the you know, like the
right
humming of it. So I'm holding back, guys.
I think it's probably the best.
I know you hate impersonations on this show, so I just want to do the whole show as Jeff Goldblum. But we're not. We're just going to go back to The Simpsons. Hey, Henry Louis Gates Jr. then asks Carl about his connection to the buckle. Carl explains it was in his bassinet with him when he was dropped off at the orphanage. Professor Gates then states that solving this kind of life-defining, soul-affirming historical riddle is why he created Finding Your Roots. He then tells the producer to bump the next guest. And then in the green room, we see Rainier Wolfcastle looking over his family history, then realizes getting bumped is probably the best. Very funny joke, because, you know, Nazi. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Gates then begins to delve into the history of Carl Carlson.
What got you started on this journey of discovery?
An amazing woman I met.
Hey, the most awkward guy I ever dated is on TV. Oh, come on, mention the restaurant.
I felt like such a fool as I left with my takeout bag from Soul House.
He said it! Oh, he said it!
Let me introduce you to Ellis.
Ellis? I bet I'm related to him. I wasn't supposed to say that yet, was I?
Just act surprised later. Turn the page. From this pre-Civil War document, we know that your fourth great-grandfather was born into slavery on a ranch in Texas. On what would become the first Juneteenth in 1865, Ellis got word that the Emancipation Proclamation had freed the slaves 2 years earlier. Angry and determined, he leapt onto the wildest stallion on the ranch and held on for dear life. 3 days later, in two states over, that stallion was broken. But Ellis, who'd been born a slave, was not only free, now he was a cowboy.
So Carl is filled with cheerful joy, learning that he came from a long line of cowboys, right up to his father, Wyatt. Dr. Gates then shows Carl footage of his father riding a bull at the Okmulgee, Oklahoma Rodeo. Wyatt rode the bull for an astonishing 20 seconds. Wyatt is then asked what he's going to do with his grand prize buckle.
Use it to hold up my Wranglers. But then, I'm going to pass it on to my kid. Folks don't always see us as cowboys, but when my boy wears his blue ribbon belly badge, he'll know bull riding's in his blood. I finally know who I am. I'm a black cowboy.
That's great, Carl, but does that mean you're qualified to be doing this?
Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
What I was born to do.
Get killed by a 2,000-pound super cow?
Guys, don't worry. I got the buckle.
Doctor, can't you do something?
Sorry, I see this a lot. Once I had to pull Lawrence Fishburne out of a jet cockpit after he found out his great-uncle was a Tuskegee Airman.
So many stories in the news of people pulling Lawrence Fishburne out of something. I don't know what that means.
I don't know. But he was also a black cowboy.
Yeah, on the Pee Wee Herman. That's right.
Yeah, Charlie Curtis.
Yeah. So Naima arrives at the rodeo after receiving Carl's evite. She urges Carl not to ride the bull, saying he doesn't have to prove anything to her. Carl needs to prove it to himself, as bull riding is in his blood. So Naima grows frustrated, saying, that isn't how blood works. Before she can stop him, Carl and the bull are set free. The bull flails and Carl holds on it tight. And at first, it seems that he has control of things. But then the bull bucks him high into the air and he falls to the dirt, landing on his arm. And Dr. Gates points out that genealogy can be a wild ride.
Indeed. Despite his brutal injuries, Carl proudly stands up saying, I'm a cowboy. Naima is impressed they could hold on for a whole 3 seconds. Me too, buddy. Homer then goes to high-five Cowboy Carl, but his broken arm won't allow it. A woman offers to fix it since her great-great-grandfather was a doctor in the Civil War. She then pulls out a rusty saw, but Dr. Gates rushes her away.
I love how, like, this is such a Simpsons joke. Like, she has a rusty saw. Where did that come from?
Yeah, also, that was voiced by Yeardley, so it's nice to see that she got some work for this episode. But also, it seems like a role that would normally go to our favorite Tress McNeil.
Yeah, she probably under contract.
It was great.
It's probably like under contract, you know, she has to voice something.
Mm-hmm. You're probably right.
I think it's because Lisa just hates Carl.
LHC.
Lisa hates Carl. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Figured it out. Cool.
So... Later, Carl and Naima share a nice moment together.
One in four cowboys who settled the Old West was black. Oh, and you know the Lone Ranger?
No, I'm a young person.
Well, he was based on a real guy, Lawman Bass Reeves.
Maybe it's that you took my advice and explored your past, or maybe I just like a man who does what I tell him, but I feel very close to you right now.
Me too. Oh, and thanks for the O positive, by the way.
So does this make me a cowboy too?
That's not how blood works.
I love how he's like, you know, Lone Ranger is based on a black person. He's like, I don't know who that is. I'm young.
Yeah.
All the old timers, like Al Jean, probably got a kick out of that joke.
Mm-hmm. They probably grew up watching or listening to the Lone Ranger.
Yeah. Lonnie was like, I need a joke for old people. And I was like, oh, put a Lone Ranger joke in because he was black. And she's like, what's a Lone Ranger? Like, she's like, Army Hammer, the cannibal. No, it was a show, not a horrible remake with Johnny Depp and Cannibal Arnie Hammer. Wow, two people that were canceled. That's a reason not to watch that movie, The Lone Ranger. Two canceled people.
Yeah. In it. If you want a movie with Lone Rangers, watch the 1992 hit Airhead, starring Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi, and Brendan Fraser, because their band was The Lone Rangers.
Oh, something I learned today.
Yeah, it was a running gag throughout the movie because they can't be The Lone Rangers because there's three of them.
I love the whole, like, that's not how blood works. It's just that thing people say is that, you know, it's in my blood type of, and it's mm-hmm. the fact that it's very good. That's not how blood works. All those Nepo babies out there. That's not how blood works.
That's not how blood works.
anyway, so kissing the back of the ambulance, Carla and Naima ride off into the canyons, and that's the end of the episode. I was kind of hoping that, because it's cowboy themed, that the ambulance is like went up in two wheels, went yeehaw, and like rolled this like sirens around like a cowboy or like a lasso.
Right.
But that's not how ambulances work. You know, nope. I was just thinking that the older episodes of Simpsons I've been watching, I had missed that bit of when they called the ambulance, and it was always that cut to like 1 second of the nee-doo, ambulance.
Yeah.
It was the same animation throughout the episode. I missed that bit.
Sound is a great sound, and I miss it. Yeah, me too.
It's that bit. I miss the old bit of when they were on the phone on a call waiting, and the song was always related into the problem at hand, like the episode where Homer loses Maggie and he's on the phone and it's like, baby, come back.
Yeah, that's solid. And I think they can still do that because there's still hold music sometimes. Oh,
yeah, like people still have to make phone calls and hold the phone. Yeah, hold the line.
Well, I hope that you'll hold the line as we take a break.
Okay, Toto.
And we'll love isn't always on time, but we'll be right back to talk about
Roseanne
Carlson rides again.
Oh.
Or I Africa. Can't go for that. Yeah, Africa.
Okay.
So let's take a break and we'll be right back. I just exactly what you see today and every day. I'm just me. Craig, let's finish up our discussion of Carl Carlson Rides Again. We'll talk about our MVJ, what made us laugh, what we thought, and find out what we're watching next week. But before we do all of that, let's give a gift. And Craig, I know you're something of a clothes horse. I'm going to give you, first of all, I'm not going to give you Carl's buckle because that seems very cherished in his family, so I don't want to do that. But I will give you Lenny's suspenders and all of Dr. Hibbert's Cosby sweaters.
Who says I don't have all the sweaters as it is? Well, Steve, based off your story that you told about your horrific day after work, you seem injured to me, so I felt bad, so I'm hopping on the good old choo-choo train, and I just baked you a casserole, stuff I had around the house. It's just your gift, because you're injured.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet of you. Yeah. What do you got in there?
As you know, my cat passed away about a year ago, so I still have some wet and dry cat food here, so I just mixed that up.
And, I was relieved for a moment, because it wasn't actually your cat.
Yeah, I know.
But also...
I gave that to you in a stew years ago. Yeah, like 3 months ago. And here's a bottle of hot sauce I found in the back of the cupboard that had been opened. It says expired in 2007. I'm sure it's still fine. And I don't eat dairy anymore. So here's this. It was mozzarella cheese, but now it just looks like blue cheese. And then I put that on there. And here you go.
You shouldn't have.
Are you sus right now? Is that how kids use that word?
Yeah. I'm mad sus. No cap.
And here's a t-shirt of Huey P. Newton, the founder of the Black Panthers, for you to wear.
Thank you. I support his work and his figs.
And here's a gift card to some of your favorite stores, like Malcolm XXX Adult Toys.
Nice.
Spike Lee's Joints and Kid and Blade Daycare. All gift cards.
It's going to be a busy Saturday. So what made you laugh in this episode? Or who made you laugh even?
Pausing the screen, just looking at the menu plan for the meal train was great. Trying on the outfits in the store, and then the shop owners like stopped doing the montage was a great visual gag. I love the Hans Molman with a long pause of bitches. Mm-hmm. Might be one of my favorite scenes. I think Carl, you know, not knowing his black culture at the dinner with Naomi was a very fun scene. We didn't really talk about much, but the song for the Soul House that is apparently like the long version is very graphic, is very funny to me.
Yeah.
Rainier Wolfcastle, of course, with him realizing maybe they should look at his heritage. Mm-hmm. This episode very much could have been a script that you could give to a live action sitcom. So it didn't feel too cartoony to me. It sounds like I'm reviewing it. But yeah, I think those are some of the fun visual gags. If I gave it MVJ, let's just give it to Carl.
Alrighty. Yeah, I think that you mentioned the choo-choo train. Very funny. Also, the bowling pins going at it. It's really funny.
That was my favorite joke.
Yeah, that was really good. Of course, Hans Molman saying bitches is good. But I like that everybody had their jokes. Like, Dr. Gates had some funny lines. I liked that when Naima was telling her story that they would just pour the gumbo into the poor children's hands. But yeah, I think that Carl, I really liked the depth of his character in this episode. Like, I didn't even know he was so into bowling. Like, I knew he bowled, but it's part of his identity. But yeah, I think that he was a lot of fun. It's fun to see how dorky he was. Yeah, I'm going to give it to him as well. So Craig, just let's go for it. What do you think of the episode?
What I like about The Simpsons, besides all the fun jokes too, is I do like commentary on culture, something that makes you think. I know The Simpsons is supposed to make you laugh, shut your brain off, but if a show like this can make you think about the world or people in general, it gives you a different perspective that cultural identity, which we, again, don't have to really deal with.
Yeah.
This episode, I think, just does a great job from Lonnie, who wrote this episode. Her view of how she sees herself in Carl, of like, is she supposed to identify this way, but she has this other identity, but how does she have to mix it together? But then the character of Naima is just like, look, I'm not dating your culture. I'm dating you.
Mm-hmm.
There's people out there like, yes, we have a culture background, but that's not our identity. It's just that let's be ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the message that I'm trying to get to this episode of. Just Carl's Carl, right? And we all love Carl. We never think about his culture. I think that joke of him being from Iceland was just a funny one-off gag that they did. And but they keep it going. Like, no, let's not like make that just a joke. Let's say that's true. You know, let's make that true. And I think also I'm interested in Carl's backstory because we learn that his parents abandoned him. And I think that there's more to Carl's backstory, which is really fascinating. This episode, like, they didn't give the explanation of why Carl's parents abandoned him. And I think we're going to have more saga of Carl in the future. I'm really hoping to see more of that. Like,
and hopefully it's not 10 years from now.
Right. Like, what was the reason Carl's parents abandoned him? I'm sure there is a reason. And, you know, another writer is going to tell that story. And I really enjoy these kind of episodes where we delve away from the Simpsons family. And it was interesting. Mm-hmm. Last week, we had an episode where Bart wasn't in it at all. And now this week, Lisa wasn't in it. Next week, Maggie and Marge, who's not going to be in it. We know it's not going to be Homer because, you know, he's the star of the show. But
yeah,
I enjoy this episode a lot. I think it was thought-provoking when sometimes The Simpsons doesn't need to be thought-provoking. It was funny, made you think, made you laugh. This is what I like about The Simpsons. Just tell a story that isn't about, you know, Homer fucking up his marriage or Bart disappointing Marge. Telling a story. Yeah. And I think we've talked about it on the podcast before. Like, we would love just a Lenny and Carl buddy show, like a live action Lenny and Carl show. Just those two characters are one of my favorite side characters, Springfield characters for The Simpsons. I love Lenny and Carl. You know, Carl being the straight man, Lenny being his foil, would just make for a great TV show.
I agree.
That being said, I say watch this episode. Like I mentioned, Dawn Lewis, she does a voice on The Simpsons, and she was Naima, and of course, she does Brady Sabert's. She's also on one of my favorite shows, Star Trek Lower Decks, another animated comedy show. Steve, out of the collection currently of Star Trek, there are 872 episodes of Star Trek spanning 44 seasons of television.
Wow.
So out of 872, I'm going to give this episode a 869.
Nice. Yeah, this was a really interesting and, like you said, thought-provoking episode. I think that the way that it explores culture and, you know, race is very interesting, and it's a fresh take on it. It doesn't feel like a very special episode. It just feels like people being people, and, you know, it's a fun, different kind of episode of The Simpsons that I'm really appreciate, because I think that as the show goes on, you need to kind of always be fresh and kind of come up with new ideas. And I think further exploring Carl's identity is really interesting. And I think that Naima is a very interesting character with a great backstory of her own. And I really like what this episode did. It made me laugh. It made me think. And I think that it's just a really fascinating episode and really feels like it speaks to the modern times. You know, I do watch older episodes, and I recently watched the one where Krusty kind of reinvents himself as an observational comedian. And one of the things that makes him change how he performs is that he does a racist Asian character and people boo him. And it's funny watching that, because most people who were booing him weren't booing him for the racism. They were booing him for being tired and hacky. It was just kind of okay. And so it's nice to see that all these years later that we're here having, you know, two Black characters interact with one another on a show and having like a deep, meaningful relationship with one another, rather than having a stereotype of a Jewish clown doing a stereotype of an Asian character. So I think it's progress, and I think it's interesting. And I think the fact that maybe you and I don't know exactly how to approach this, I think the fact that we're aware of that is meaningful too, because it means that we're not stuck in our ways, and that we're not, I'm not like trying to pat ourselves on the back at all, but I just want to say that, like, the fact that, you know, we're having these conversations that aren't always comfortable, I think that's meaningful too. And I think that if a show like Simpsons can bring that, that is really cool. And, you know, also the episode had some laughs, and it was well spread out, and it was a very entertaining episode. So, you know, I don't think I ever realized how much of a bowling enthusiast Carl was. So, you know, the best score you can get is 300. I'm going to give this a 290 out of 300.
Yeah, watch this episode, guys. It's a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely one of the highlights from this season 34.
Definitely. And I really look forward to Lonnie writing more episodes, because between this one and the Bleeding Gums Murphy and his son, like, it's a nice thing to have every season. So
yeah, more episodes dealing with other Springfield characters is always a plus in my book.
Yeah, I love the world building. So
yep.
I wonder if we're going to get that next week, because we have another new episode.
Oh,
episode 15 in the season, episode 743 in the show's run. Craig, if you can guess the title of this, then we don't have to watch it, and we can just give up on this podcast.
All right. Well, I mean, we could have, because you kind of predicted the episode, but not that well from last week. So let's see if I can do it.
That's right.
So this week was Carl Carlson Rides Again. You can't have Carl without Lenny, right? Something next week's going to be about Lenny. So to be Lenny Leonard Strikes Back.
Ooh, that's a great title. And I would love to see the one where Lenny learns that he's adopted by Greenland parents and learn his roots.
I was thinking more like bowling, because bowling strikes back. Yeah. Maybe it's a continuation. I know we're not supposed to do this, but maybe Lenny learns his roots during the same episode.
That'd be funny. It'd
be like a four part episode where each character learns, like, their...
Ooh, that's fun.
Mo learns, Barney learns.
That'd be a lot of fun, but sadly, that is not the title. The title of the episode is Bartless.
Oh, well, so it was last week's episode.
Exactly.
Just replaying it, because Bart's not in it.
There's the chiron on the bottom. Nope, still not here.
Bartless, that sounds like a take on... after like years of doing this podcast, we realized that The Simpsons do a parody of titles from like books or movies. So I think Bartless is a parody of the movie and also TV show Limitless, which was about a dude who didn't have to sleep and could learn all these powers, which Steve and I created back when we were 17 years old in 1998.
That's right.
It was Detective Lawyer MD. Somehow Hollywood hurt us. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say Bartless is like that. So Bart doesn't have to sleep, and he starts learning other things, and it takes him out of a he becomes kind of a genius again, like we've seen Bart the genius, but since he's learning more things now because he doesn't have to sleep because he gets bored, and he does he's not himself anymore. He doesn't do any of his antics. He doesn't skateboard around. He doesn't write El Barto. He's just not Bart anymore. And so Lisa's concerned that he's not Bart. He's Bartless. He's just, he's nothing. And Lisa tries to help Bart get back to his old ways because she loves the old Bart. She needs old Bart. And that's the story. And the B story is Marge discovers that Homer has been subscribing to too many OnlyFans, but it's not the OnlyFans that you think of. It's not sexy ones. It's still women in sexy clothes, but they're cooking, and he gets horny from all the cooking that they do. And then Marge gets inspiration and makes her own OnlyFans for only Homers. She makes her own thing called Only Homers, and it's her cooking food. And he gets turned on by that. And how close am I?
Well, Craig, you're almost exactly wrong.
Almost.
The synopsis is, when Bart's latest prank leads to chaos at Springfield Elementary,
yeah, I got Bart right.
Homer dream of a world. Yeah. Marge and Homer dream of a world in which their rambunctious son was never a Simpson.
Okay.
And in a B plot, Marge erotically makes pork chops for a video service exclusively for Homer. So
I know we always talk about doing Patreon, but can we just do our own thing called Only Homers? It's going to be our version of OnlyFans, but it's a Simpsons version.
Right.
Because did you know that there's actually non-porn things on OnlyFans?
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be all porn.
I literally do not get OnlyFans. Like, I don't know, but interesting.
I mean, I don't know either. I heard from a friend named Steve.
Sure.
Who hosts a podcast. He told me to say this. His name is Steve Annoyed Grunt. His address is 1234 Fake Street, Portland, Oregon, 97217. That put you in like downtown area.
Doxed.
Yeah. Oh, that actually kind of sounds like a fun episode.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful life, but from like if instead of like George Bailey's, like it was his like wife is like, hey, I wish George wasn't born and I didn't marry him.
Yeah, so the guy I'm curious to see this.
Fred's money. Hey, what's Fred doing with my... No, the money's in Fred's house. Hey, what's Fred doing with my money? Sorry, I know it's past the season of Christmas, but I love Simpsons making fun of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah.
But It's a Wonderful Life, thanks to our listeners. So thank you for listening, and we hope to catch you next week. And hey, in the meantime, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach us on the socials at 138Simpsons, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on YouTube.
And you can always email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And hey, leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts or, you know, whatever podcasting app you listen to. Leave a 5-star or the equivalent, but you don't have to write a real review. Just talk about how culturally inappropriate you've been in your life.
That's right. And hey, if you want some swag for your Annoyed Grunt Boys, just go to tpublic.com/user/AnnoyedGruntBoys. You can get a t-shirt, a sticker, or a hoodie.
And if you don't want to do all that typing and talking, well, do the talkie, just go to our podcasting app and scroll down to leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
A voicemail played on the air, and we'll discuss whatever you say. If you just say a purple monkey dishwasher, we'll find a response to that.
Absolutely. We want to hear from you. For this week, I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve.
And I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Craig.
And remember, I love all the urban veggies.
And also remember, you got foot shredded in the garbage disposal.
Good game, bitches.